Okay. So hopefully everyone got to look at the test solutions briefly. You can take more time to study them. And you got your test back, so you can compare to that. Once again, you know, a lot of people had trouble, but I was generous with the partial credit, as I usually am. So be glad it's not, you know, multiple choice and fill in the bubbles, you know. Otherwise, like, that way I would not be able to give you partial credit. All right. Yeah, you can take a look at that stuff. Maybe you want to come to my office sometime and talk more about that exam. And, be happy to do that. Or send me an email if you have a question about it. Now, the topic for today. So last time we were looking at cylindrical integrals. This idea of cutting up things a little differently, right? Where's the... How do you get these little pieces, right? Well, you have a disc, maybe, but then you hollow it out. Now you've got a ring. And then we just take a little piece of that, right? Because that's how you slice cylindrically. You have a certain radius, where radius is distance to the z-axis, that's r. And then you pick a certain range of z-values, right? And then you pick a certain range of angular values, angular positions, where theta measures the angle as you go away from the x-axis towards the y-axis until you're right under the xyz position. And then z measures how far up or down you have to go. Right? So distance away from the z-axis is r, theta is that angle, z takes you up or down finally. Now remember the spherical coordinates, geometry is a little more complicated. Now there's two angles. So you can have this same picture here. I'll make it a little bigger. And again, you go some distance r away from the z-axis. You turn some angle theta away from the x-axis towards the y-axis. And we go up some number z, or down, z is negative, up to some point. But in spherical coordinates, we don't use z directly. Instead, we take an angular measurement. And that is called phi. People write phi two different ways. Some people pronounce it phi. So there's two angles, and if you look at the right, and so there's actually two right triangles, right? So r is, and then finally, what am I missing here? Rho is the distance to the origin, right? So remember, r is distance to the z-axis, rho is distance to the origin. Different concepts of radius. Alright. Now, if you want to slice things up with this, this can be a little more interesting. We can imagine, for example, if we slice to just have a limited range of rho values, instead of having some kind of cylindrical rings, we're going to have spherical shells. So we have to kind of use our imagination here. I'm imagining a sphere there. radius rho, and then we cut out the inner sphere, right? So you have radius rho, and then how thick is this shell? Well, that'll be our little d rho thickness. And then instead of making a slice of z ranges, we make a slice of phi ranges. If you're thinking of a globe, then think of phi as a co-latitude. Right? It's 90 degrees minus latitude. So we can imagine doing that, and what do you get? So now you have this. So we have this, basically a cone, and this angle phi, go out to rho, and go a little bit more thickness rho. And so we actually don't want all of it. We just want the part of it from the shell. So we're actually going to cut off most of it here. So we have this little bit here. So you're making a slice of a slice. And we actually want to have a range. We want to have a range of the phi value, so you imagine a little bit more d phi here. Kind of like this. Yeah, it becomes maybe hard for me to draw it. Alright. Artist in the band. Okay. So it's kind of like that ring, but yeah, I'm gonna try again. Cross section here. So basically, take a slice out of the globe. Maybe I should just indicate how it looks on here. Kind of like this. You get this slice, and the distance here will be about rho d phi. So you have this kind of chunk of this of the spherical shell, it's kind of this ring, and then you have to slice again. Like here. So you imagine something like this. The ring is not coming out very well. And at the end, you end up with this kind of weird looking chunk. Have to draw. Tempting to draw. So you have this chunk, and as before, you've got this RD theta length. Then you also have instead of a DZ thickness, you have this rho. Here it is. Rho d phi. And then instead of a dr thickness of a ring, we have the thickness of a spherical shell. You have d phi. And you pretend it's a box, which, like with this one, it's not exactly true, but it's roughly true. So you pretend you've got yourself a box, and for very small boxes, this is approximately true. Okay. So if you do all this weird spherical slicing, you get a volume of B rho times rho d phi times r d theta. Now, you don't like to use r if you don't have to, because that's from cylindrical coordinates. You want it to be in spherical coordinates. The r is rho times the sine of phi. So you get d rho times rho d phi times rho times the sine of phi d theta. And so the punchline then is that if you simplify that, you get the important formula for this. There's two factors of rho, so it's actually rho squared times the sine of phi, and then times the three differentials. And the order in which you write them doesn't matter yet. It'll matter when you set up an iterated integral. So that's my attempt at justifying it. I think of it as, okay, spherical shell, some narrow range of rho values, then I have a narrow range of latitudes, that's the phi slicing, and then a narrow range of longitudes, that's the theta slicing. And so you can try and imagine pulling a chunk out of the Earth's crust because of certain range of distances to the core, a certain range of latitudes, a certain range of longitudes, and you get one of these weird-looking things. But you get this nice formula, and then the rest is geometry, you could say. Let me walk through what I said we'd walk through. Last time I said we would take one of the volume integrals and do it again with spherical coordinates. Right? Last time we had a cylindrical one. And it was somewhat complicated. I just had the calculator do the integral. So we had this, the cone of a spherical cap, kind of like an ice cream cone after you've licked it for a while. So up here you have if the rho equals 5, spherical cap. And then here you have the z equals 2r cone. And w is the region in between these things. And last time, we found that in terms of longitude theta, well, the theta could be whatever we wanted. Right? And so I just picked anything from 0 to 2 pi. And then the biggest r could possibly be the distance to the z-axis. What happened right here, and r came out to be root 5 as maximum value. And then z would be 2r down here. And then up here, z was the square root of 25 minus r squared. The 25 is just 5 squared. So that's where we're at. That's where it comes from. Right. And we're using the fact that, when I got that, of course, I'm using the fact that I have a right triangle here, right? R squared plus z squared is rho squared. Yeah. And so once I had it expressed in this form, the volume of W became this nice iterated integral. I did the theta integral on the outside, and it didn't really matter since the theta limits don't depend on the other variables. But in any case, wherever you put it, it's fine as long as you're consistent. Now, the R limits need to be outside the Z limits because the Z limits depend on R. So you can move around where you put the theta integral, but the Z limits in this setup, right, which is the simpler of the two setups we did for this integral, The z integral has to happen inside the r integral, because for these limits you have to slice and pick a particular r to get actual numbers for the z limits. And then we use the cylindrical volume differential. So we had r, and then notice I put this dz on the insides. So I write r dz. I bring the dz to the front there. This is the z integral. Then the r integral is paired with the dr. And you have the d theta integral. Now, if you wanted the theta limits here, they don't depend on the other variables. And the other variables' limits don't depend on the r and z. So you could move the theta integral to the middle. You could move it all the way to the inside. It wouldn't matter. Yeah. How do we... How do we get this? How do we set up spherically? Hopefully we can get the same answer as before. It's about 27.7. So this is very nice for spherical coordinates because you can set up so that all the limits are independent of each other. Okay. Again, your longitude, where you are going around, if you're circling around the z-axis, you can make a, if you're anywhere in the cone, you can just make a full circle at that distance from the z-axis, and you'll stay in this region. If you're between the cone and the spherical cap, you can have any longitude you want. It's got this symmetry around the z-axis. So you can have the theta just go from 0 to 2 pi again. And now rho is really easy. Your distance to the origin, that's rho. It can be as high as 5 or it can be as low as 0. Anything in between. The key is recognizing that the cone is made up of a bunch of radii, right? It's made up of lines that go to the origin. The cone actually represents a certain latitude, right? There's a certain angle right here. If you put the coordinate axes in, you imagine this cone here. This cone z equals 2r, I claim that you always have the same angle right there. And we can prove it, right? So here's r, here's z equals 2r, here's phi. Remember, r is the distance away from the z-axis. So anywhere on this cone, in this picture here, maybe this green edge here matches this edge, right?
What does that say?
It's kind of sloppy, so let me write it again. That's the edge of the cone, right?
Oh, edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take that green line there. Here it is. Let's see. Look at this. The tangent of phi is just 2r over r, right? Which is just 2. So phi is the arctangent of 2. And if you're clever here, you could even figure out some. I think there's a one of these special angles. I think I want to say 72 degrees. I could ask my calculator.
Probably.
Anyways, or I can just leave it as arctangent of 2. So the point is to get from the xy plane to the cone, you have to go a certain angle. And as soon as you go that fixed angle, a constant angle, then you're at the edge of the cone. If you go further, then you're on the inside of the cone. And to get all the way to the z-axis, you have to go to 90 degrees. So we have the longitude can be whatever we want, in a full circle. The distance to the origin, 0 to 5. And then the trickier one was, what can the co-latitude be, right? So it's that initial angle to get into the cone. And then you can go as far as 90 degrees to get all the way to the middle of the cone for the z-axis. 90 degrees would be pi over 2 in radians. I thought my calculator would tell me it was a special number. I think it is, though. Maybe it's not one of those special angles after all. It is what it is. Okay, so if we have this geometric setup here, it's very nice because each of the three variables has constant limits. Whereas here, one of the variables had limits that depend on another variable. Okay, so now the volume W becomes... So theta will go from 0 to 2 pi. Rho will go from 0 to 5. And phi will go from this arctangent of 2 to 90 degrees. We have to integrate that dv, right? Which will be this rho squared sine phi thing. Now, because there's no interaction between the variables here, right? You could think of this as, in spherical coordinates, being a spherical box, right? You have three coordinates, and the limits are just constants. It's like a box where x is between a and b, y is between c and d, z is between some other numbers, p and q. So none of the variables interact with each other. So you can actually factor everything like this. Very nice. And so it's, you can just factor out the terms. And so you just have to do each of these integrals. The first integral is easy. It's 2 pi. This one will be 5 cubed over 3. Right, just by a power rule. And then that one, it's going to be the negative of the cosine of phi evaluated at pi over 2 and at arctangent 2. So cosine of 90 degrees is 0, and then I'll have to take the cosine of that. And hopefully we'll get the right thing here. Let's see if we get the same answer as before. 2 pi times 125 divided by 3. Times the cosine of the inverse tangent of 2. Now I know you can simplify that. The same thing as I had before. That's not good. Thank you. Oh, that's funny. Not sure where I'm going wrong here. I'm not getting the same answer as I got before.
I can't.
Maybe one of you. Either I set up the cylindrical integral wrong last time, or. But we did the cylindrical integral two ways last time. We got the same thing. Something wrong here. Very strange. Yeah.
Shank angle B start from the Z axis?
No, it starts from here. It's or
because the way you have it set up, arc would be equal to rho cosine of B based on that triangle that you have there, right?
Yeah.
And R is supposed to be our rho sine of B.
Ah. Okay. That would, I think Jacinto's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would explain it. If I just had the angles backwards. Yeah, that would explain it. I apologize for that. I got it backwards. If I draw it this way, it's longitude. Yeah. Or sorry, it's latitude. What you really want is co-latitude. Right. Well, I have to apologize for that. Okay.
I don't quite understand. What means? So what's the difference here then?
Oh, I'll show you how it fixes it in a minute. Anyways. So then, yeah, very sorry about that. Got it backwards. All right. So if I unmix up the latitude and co-latitude, then it's here, and so. Basically, the triangle is upside down, okay? So if you draw the triangle correctly, like this. B, the Z is 2R here, okay? And so it's the other way around. It's a half. And the angle phi, which I don't know how I got it backwards, the angle phi is the angle with the z-axis, so consistency check here, otherwise I might not have realized as quickly that I was telling you something wrong here. Alright, so and right here we will get cosine of zero, right? Actually, the antiderivative is negative cosine, so you're going to have negative cosine of inverse tangent of a half, minus negative cosine of 0. So cosine of 0, which is 1, minus cosine of inverse tangent of a half. The cosine of the inverse tangent, you can use a right triangle if you want to simplify that. I think it would be this end of the triangle here is going to be root 5r, so it would be 2 over root 5. If you care to simplify that, you can. But if you just want a number, then I think
I'll verify it with the calculator here.
Yes, now I get the same thing as before.
Yay.
Okay. So. All right. So, yes. Okay, so sorry about that. I remember when I lectured on spherical coordinates some weeks ago, I got it right then, but apparently I got mixed up since then. Phi is the angle from the z-axis, not the angle you make to get there. Not the angle from the xy plane. The co-latitude, angle from the north pole, not angle with the equator. Here's another one. Radius of gyration of a sphere. Of radius 7. Okay, here's an example. We'll get the geometry right this time. The first time. Okay, so in the middle of the sphere, right, we center the sphere at the origin, right? So here's our sphere. And, okay, fine, radius 7. Okay. Maybe I should say not ball. Solid sphere, right? I'm thinking about what's inside the sphere. Okay, so. And what does radius of gyration mean? Well, I need to pick an axis, right? So what this measures is how hard is it to spin a ball? The radius of gyration gives you the radius of a ring such that spinning that ring takes just as much torque, right, to give it a given amount of angular acceleration as it would to give the ball the same amount of angular acceleration, assuming the ring and the ball have the same mass. So the distance to the z-axis, you measure the square root of the average of the square of that. Right? So how do we get this? So we have to integrate over b, we take r squared times dv, and then we just divide out by the volume. Now you know the volume of a sphere, I hope. In this case, 4/3 pi r cubed, but I guess, I don't know, capital R or something. There's all these different radii floating around. 4/3 times pi times the cube of the radius of the sphere. You could do this integral, but you should get to that if you do it. If you want, you can take that as a proof of the sphere volume formula. And this one's a little more interesting. Okay. Now, so what are the limits of integration on this? Let's figure that out. So the distance, rho, to the origin can be anything from 0 to 7. Your longitude, right? Your angle of the prime meridian, like, yeah. That can be anything you want, right? It can be any longitude, so I have a 360-degree range of that. And what about your co-latitude, right? Okay, so let's do it. So starting from the z-axis, you can make an angle from 0 all the way to as big as 180 degrees as you go from North Pole all the way down to South Pole. So you get these limits for a sphere. And what else do you need? You need to use the fact that you have that right triangle relation between z, r, and rho. Wait a minute. No, that's not right. Use the right triangle relation in the appropriate way. Right? So r is rho times the sine. And you combine all that with the dv here, right? Okay. Okay. And so if you put all that together, then you can actually figure out this. Okay. So That can be the first part of your homework. Now this new batch of homework is due on Thursday, day 43. So
wasn't it 35 to 39?
I was wrong. It's 35 through 40. Sorry. I looked at the schedule and I was wrong about that. There, one thing in your favor, there's no day 36 homework because that was a test. So this is only, it looks like 6 days of homework, but it's actually only five. Because there's no day 36. Okay? So you can finish the radius of gyration problem. Okay. And two, find the center of mass of H, where H is the northern hemisphere of B, the top half of the ball of B, right? So rho is at most 7, and z is at least 0. Okay. Now, two of those coordinates, the x and y coordinates, have to be 0 by symmetry. The real work, the interesting part is finding what is the average z coordinate of the top half of a ball, radius 7. Okay. So that is all we have time for. Sorry about the latitude, co-latitude thing. Go back to chapter 2 if you want to review spherical coordinates, right?